And good morning. Before we get started, just for council's benefit, John Smith is unable to be here today. He will be participating in the ultimate discussions and outcome of the case matters presented. He'll be listening to these hearings. Going to ask our marshal to call the last case for oral argument presentation.
Case number A240725, in the matter of the obstruction of Renville County Ditch 59.
And when you're ready, you may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Matthew Furchi, and I'm here on behalf of the relator in this case, the Commissioner of Transportation. Your Honors, though some complex arguments have been presented by the parties in the briefing and motion to this court, the dispositive issue in this case is ultimately a straightforward one. Does the mere existence of Trunk Highway 71 in Renville County constitute an obstruction to County Ditch 59 within the meaning of Section 103E.075, the obstruction statute in the Drainage Code? The answer can be, and should be, simple. Applying the language of the statute and this court's precedential decision interpreting it, it does not. The Drainage Authority's obstruction decision rests entirely on factors the legislature never intended it to consider in an obstruction proceeding. The decision is therefore erroneous as a matter of law, contrary to the evidence, and cannot withstand the scrutiny of judicial review, and this court should reverse it in its entirety. Because the Drainage Authority's decision is premised upon the obstruction statute, the analysis starts with and is governed by that statute.
So the ditch is there first. The road is placed over the ditch. It's not going through. Those are factors we should consider.
They are not, Your Honor.
Why not?
Because priority of ownership, who was there first, is not relevant to the statutory language or the Minch decision by this court construing that statute. So I invite the court to look at Subdivision 1 of the obstruction statute first. Quote, if the board determines that a drainage system has been obstructed, including by installation of bridges or culverts of insufficient hydraulic capacity, the board shall notify the person or public authority responsible for the obstruction as soon as possible and direct the responsible party to remove the obstruction or show the board why the obstruction should not be removed. That statute does not define the term obstruction. But this court did. In the Minch decision, this court construed the statute in detail, applying the very same principles of statutory construction that are urged by the Drainage Authority here. In doing so, this court concluded that the legislature intended to limit the type of obstructions the responsible party can be ordered to remove to obstacles that are artificial in nature or man-made, that are constructed or installed, and that block or impede the flow of the drainage system. So flow is a key component of this court's statutory construction of the obstruction statute. There is no evidence in the record dealing with flow whatsoever. There's no allegation.
But again, that's because the road goes over?
No, that...
Why am I having this backwards in my head?
Because the Drainage Authority has grafted an entirely new statutory standard into the obstruction statute that was never intended by the legislature and is not acknowledged or recognized by this court's precedential decision interpreting and construing the statute. It's a completely new invented standard that they have advocated for in the obstruction statute. This court went on in the Minch decision to say beyond the obstacles that obstruct the flow of the drainage system, this court, quote, did not discern a legislative intent to extend the scope of this particular subdivision that I just read beyond those terms. It doesn't include a reference to priority of ownership, who was there first, nor is that at all a factor in whether a drainage system is obstructed. Whether a pipe or a piece of the drainage system is obstructed by the flow is obstructed, it doesn't matter who was there first or what came second. Moreover, to clarify, Judge Werke, your question, when the drainage system was established, there was already a road there. A Troy Township road was already present. So the highway was not built over top of a pipe or a drainage system. The drainage system was constructed having to navigate that road itself, presumably by open cutting a trench in the highway. Now, later on, and this history, the motion to supplement the record was brought forward before this court because there were gaps in the history and in the record provided by the Drainage Authority. MnDOT took over that township road and turned it eventually into Trunk Highway 71. It did not have any impact on the flow of the drainage system, and there's no allegation that from the Drainage Authority that it ever did. However, in 2016, the Drainage Authority approved a petition by several landowners to improve the drainage system. And that in some of those improvements include installation of an entirely new pipe, a larger pipe, to accommodate additional drainage from private landowners further up the ditch.
The issue seems to come down to the fact that once the highway was placed there, it became harder for the Drainage Authority to maintain the tiles or the flow or whatever. Is that right? The question about whether the road is an obstruction to the flow, I mean, it wasn't back then. Over time, it maybe isn't now an obstruction in the sense that I understand you're talking about, but it is harder for them to maintain or to fix it than it would have been back when the highway was initially put in. Is that the right way to at least understand their argument? And I asked them this question, but
right.
Does that matter?
The short answer, no, Your Honor, because maintenance of a ditch is materially different and statutorily different from improvement of a ditch. There is no obstacle, to use this court's interpretation of the statute, to the Drainage Authority's maintenance of this pipe or the ditch.
Is that the provision about repairing, which is different?
It is different.
Than removing? Okay.
Improving means to install a new pipe. It's a completely different drainage system once you improve it. So we're not talking about maintaining the ditch as established in 1916. Moreover, to continue to clarify for the court, the highway was not placed over top this ditch. A roadway was always present. The same exact strip of highway right-of-way existed even when the ditch was established. What did change was the authority over that road. Once it became a trunk highway, there are new laws and new provisions that govern that right-of-way. And one of those rules is Rule 88-10-3600. And that requires that any work in a trunk highway be done by jacking and boring under the highway, not by open cutting a ditch through or a trench through the highway for the obvious public impacts that poses, such as detours, construction costs. None of those that the Drainage Authority is trying to avoid those and spreading those across the drainage system as it's obligated to do under the improvement statutes in the Drainage Code.
So if we agree with you that Trunk Highway 71 is not an obstruction as defined, then what happens? Where does it go from there?
Well, this court should reverse that determination because the crux of it is improvements have a certain cost. If landowners want to improve the drainage system and the Drainage Authority approves that petition for improvement, the Drainage Authority is obligated to spread the costs of that improvement across the benefited landowners in the drainage system. And you'll note from the briefing and from the record that the Drainage Authority assigned $0 in benefit for these improvements. And the statutes in the Drainage Code require that any assessment of costs to either a private or public authority must be based on the beneficial drainage to that owner. And where the Drainage Authority determines that for this pipe, MnDOT receives zero, no benefit, there is no basis in the Drainage Code for the Drainage Authority to charge costs to MnDOT for the construction of those improvements. The fact that jacking and boring under Trunk Highway 71, as is required by the law, by Rule 88-10-3600, increases the costs of the improvement project is not a basis under the obstruction statute or any provision in the Drainage Code or any case to charge MnDOT nearly $200,000 for the construction of the tile for private benefit.
So back to Judge Warkey's question about if we agree with you about the obstruction point, Are there, and maybe I'll just ask, looking at the record issues, the history, like, does any of that matter after this about whether there was a right-of-way or not, or who, you know, whether easement, does that matter and I'll certainly ask the other side this question.
The question is...
And the same question I have dovetailing on that is, it's your motion to supplement the record by giving all this historical background. Does it matter if we agree with you on the ultimate issue? And why should we supplement the record when you didn't do anything to start with?
Right. Layers of questions, Your Honors, and yes. I'll do my best to answer those. First, we'll start with the record. You're absolutely right, Your Honor, that there is no need for any of this record, for the record submitted by the Drainage Authority or the motion to supplement from MnDOT, if the proper interpretation and application of 103E075 is applied. Because there is not a single reference to priority of ownership or who was there first or increased costs to improvement in the obstruction statute, nor is it in this court's precedential decision construing that statute and the definition of obstruction. It is awkward, we'll say, that MnDOT was forced to bring this motion to supplement to correct and fill the chronological gaps in the history of the highway and the history of County Ditch 59 that was manifest in the record that was presented by the Drainage Authority here.
But and the reason this was not presented earlier at the hearing, what?
Well, because, Your Honor, I'd invite the court.
Because you were so certain the definition would not.
That is part of it, Your Honor. This is such a detour, as I noted in my brief, from the dispositive issue and the established law, the statutory language from the legislature and this court's decision interpreting it, that MnDOT really could not anticipate what the Drainage Authority was getting at. If you go back and look at the notice, it's a vague reference to who was there first. Even in the transcript from the hearing in this case, a brief narrative alluding to their arguments is all MnDOT had to go on. MnDOT did not see their case citations or really their rationale for their position until the respondent's brief was submitted to this court. MnDOT did not see the record that they relied upon for their obstruction notice or their obstruction decision until it was submitted to this court for appellate review.
Well, they seem to make the same arguments about your positions, right? That it wasn't fully developed there. So, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, what the import of any of this of it is ultimately, aside from unless there's some issue of waiver on either side, which it doesn't seem like anybody is raising that level of argument.
I will note, it's convenient. It's a convenient argument to not show the basis for your accusation of obstruction and the decision until after the fact. And then when MnDOT tries to correct that record and correct the history of the highway and the history of the ditch to finally point out, oh, there was always a public road, and none of this, by the way, matters under the actual correct interpretation of the statute. These procedural trap doors inherent within the procedures by the Drainage Authority here should raise some red flags. There was a Supreme Court case in dealing with the PolyMet mines later last year that talked about the danger signals that are sometimes found in agency determinations where you determine whether it reflects an act of will or an act of judgment. And I'd say the way this played out is manifestly showing those danger signals. And that's what resulted in the motion briefing to this court, despite it being arguably unnecessary.
Just one more question about your motion. The records that you're seeking to have us consider added to the record in the case, are they public records that we could have taken judicial notice of?
They are,
absent,
Your Honor.
Regardless of the motion?
They are, Your Honor. These are commissioner's orders that are public records that outline the history of the taking of the highway and the establishment of the trunk highway over the township road here in Renville County. And the public records are submitted by the Drainage Authority are the same. They're public records as well, most of them. Beyond the definition of the obstruction statute and this court's decision in Minch, the Drainage Authority's decision and their novel created standard of priority of ownership causes several other problems when you try to align this with other drainage code provisions. One argument that the Drainage Authority makes is that, well, MnDOT could have just condemned the Drainage Authority's interest when they established the highway over Highway 71. That seems to be that they're saying that MnDOT could excuse itself from the drainage system altogether. But the rest of the drainage code does not contemplate that possibility. It does not factor into who has an easement or fee simple absolute. MnDOT and other state interests are subject to the drainage code requirements regardless of when they were there first or whether there was there last, whether we bought their right-of-way last year. We are obligated to follow the language of the drainage code and pay assessments based on the benefits found for the drainage improvements or the drainage establishment. Here, MnDOT has no argument against the fact that they are not benefited, so there's no cost that needs to be paid. I'll reserve my time for rebuttal if there's no other questions at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Furch.
Thank you.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Hannah Shackrell on behalf of respondent. The Drainage Authority's decision should be upheld.
What about, I mean, let's go to the Minch case because
yes.
Mr. Furchy is clamoring that we pay attention to that and that governs what we do. Can you, I know you've argued some of that as dicta, but why would we not embrace that particular case holding?
The court in Minch was looking at a limited fact pattern. It was looking at whether the removal of soil, sediment, and silt that built up, whether or not that constituted an obstruction. There was no dispute in front of this court in Minch about whether or not that was the obstruction that was being considered. Here, there is an entirely different obstruction that the Drainage Authority is attempting to remedy. I argued this in the briefing, but looking at even a private landowner who builds a house or a hog barn over top of a drainage system would similarly face an issue of, okay, there is an obstruction to accessing the ditch and the drainage system. When I say ditch, I mean that colloquially, including drain tile. In the same way on which the benefits and damages are assessed and under which the conditions that the drainage system was established. And so Minch was not looking at whether or not that constituted an obstruction. It was not looking at whether trees growing in a drainage system would constitute an obstruction. It was only looking at a limited fact pattern that was not in dispute.
Well, as I read it, and maybe you can tell me why you disagree, assuming you do, Minch was interpreting what the word obstruction meant, and then remanded. And I find this to be kind of interesting. The decision seems to find a different definition of obstruction for purposes of 103E 705 and 103E 075, right? The obstruction and repair mm-hmm. part. So. It defines obstruction in the way that that Mr. Furchy has talked about, where talking about impeding the flow of the water, which is obstruction for purposes of 075, right? But that it may be something different for obstructions under the repair context. That's how I read that there are two ways to read whether there's an obstruction. And the facts of that case, the court said we have to remand because we don't know whether it was an obstruction, whether the silt or whatever else had gone into that ditch was an obstruction under 0.05 or 0.705. Sorry, maybe I should just use for a purpose of the obstruction provision or the repair provision. And remanded on that. So that to me is where we're not talking about dicta, that they're saying actually here's what the different kinds of obstruction, we're remanding it for the court to decide which one of those definitions it falls within. So why is that not the correct way to read Minch?
Again, I would look back at the limited facts that it was looking at. Also, just looking at the plain language of the statute, Mr. Furchy hit on this. The statute says that the Drainage Authority must look at whether the drainage system is obstructed, including by bridges or culverts of insufficient hydraulic capacity. And so that including language list out types that may be found as an obstruction, but it's not limited to only air barriers to flow of water through the drainage system. And I think this is further illuminated when looking at the statutory history. So Minnesota Statutes 106.491 is the grandfather to 103E.075. Back in 1990, the legislature overhauled the drainage code, switched it all into 103E. But 106.491 stated that the drainage authority must look at whether the drainage system is obstructed by the installation of bridges or culverts of insufficient waterway or opening or otherwise. That was then amended to the language we have now in 1985. And so that statutory language looks at how, or I guess is illuminating to that the legislature looked at and saw that there was a more obstructions that could occur than those just by bridges or culverts. The statute is open-ended and broad. And Minch, the analysis under Minch would limit that and would limit the drainage authority's ability to remedy obstructions in an administrative matter when the entire administrative drainage code and the charter drainage system is built on the fact that it's an administrative proceeding. Now, I'd like to...
How is the drainage impacted? That's what I can't find when I read through this file. So you have the trunk highway as being the obstruction.
Yes.
What is it doing? What is it obstructing?
It is obstructing access to the drainage system in the same way.
Oh, you're talking about how to get to it and expand. Okay.
Yes, in the same way that the drainage system was established in 1916. In 1916, the drainage authority established the drainage system, and there was no trunk highway there. There was a township road. However, the town...
Right now, just correct me if I'm wrong. Right now, there's no evidence that flow of the drainage has been impacted, but in order to address what you want to address, it's in the way.
Correct, Your Honor.
That's an easy way of saying what's happening.
Correct, Your Honor. It's the access to the drainage system that is being obstructed. But
there is another way to access it, it's just more expensive.
Yes, and that expense is the sole responsibility of MnDOT. The cost assigned by the drainage authority to MnDOT is solely the cost of accommodating that obstruction. The cost of jacking and boring a 30-inch tile is $203,600. The cost to open cut and lay that same tile, which is the method under which the drainage system's benefits and damages were established, is $13,500. MnDOT is not being assessed for the difference in that cost. $190,100. It is not the cost of the improvement. It is the cost of the obstruction. And I would like to address the question of MnDOT stepping into the township's shoes here. When the Drainage Authority established CD 59, the Township of Troy was assessed for benefits and damages. And now the assessment of benefits of damages is the Drainage Code's method of quasi-condemnation. It is taking property and putting it under the control of the drainage authority, and it is the drainage code's way of ensuring that the proper people are paying for the benefit that they're receiving while also paying landowners who aren't able to use their land in the same way if the drainage system wasn't there. Now, when MnDOT established Trunk Highway 71, it went through a similar process, condemnation, under which the court condemned certain lands. The drainage authority and the benefited landowners' interests were not included in that condemnation. And so there are conditions under which the drainage system was established, and MnDOT fundamentally has changed those conditions without paying for it. And if the Township of Troy was still the road authority there, the same requirement to Jack and Boar would not be there. So MnDOT has fundamentally changed how the drainage authority may access, and it fundamentally changed what landowners are expected to pay. And that has not been compensated for.
So even I certainly take that point, you know, that it's more difficult and more expensive now. And I guess the question is, where does the statute assign the obligation to pay for that difference in maintenance or repair or costs, right? As opposed to, so I see that the obstruction's a way to get there if we can find it, but at least with our, the precedential decision at this court where we've defined obstruction as something that doesn't take place over a long period of time, which seems like the wear and tear kind of issue. Mm-hmm. I just am struggling, like, how do we get around that for purposes of that part of the statute? And if not that, if we find that we're bound by that, is there any other legal basis to assign the responsibility to pay to MnDOT?
Solely under the drainage code, no, there is not. And that's kind of the issue that the drainage authority had in front of it, of balancing its duty as the manager and fiduciary for these benefited landowners so that they're not paying for something they should not be paying for, while also respecting that if you read the plain language of the statute, maybe that it says that the responsible party must remove the obstruction. Well, I think that would get into the drainage authority trying to control trunk highway and control the maintenance and operation. And so it is a balance, and the drainage authority attempted to strike a balance between its duties while also respecting MnDOT's authority over the trunk highway system, but making sure that landowners aren't unfairly being paid or aren't unfairly being expected to pay for a cost that is solely attributable to MnDOT. In State versus Humphrey, State by Humphrey v. Byers, MnDOT condemned a drainage authority interest. That is, it is something that they are able to do. Further, under 161.28, MnDOT would be able to request the modification of a drainage system for the benefit of a trunk highway system. It has not done that here. It did not condemn the interest back in 1927 when it established the trunk highway system. It could have, MnDOT could have allowed the open cut. Rule 8810 does say that those requirements may be modified. That's under the discretion of MnDOT. Or MnDOT could pay for that accommodating MnDOT's interest.
In the time that you have left, you're opposed to the record being supplemented. Can you touch on that? I mean, I'm not really certain if it lends anything or not. It seems like we've got a motion to supplement. You're opposed to it, but perhaps we don't even need that information.
I will say this. There is nothing within the record provided by the Drainage Authority nor supplemented by MnDOT that fundamentally changes the facts of this case. The record provided by MnDOT further shows that the MnDOT did not condemn the Drainage Authority or the benefited landowner's interest in the function of CD 59. MnDOT was invited to the table by the Drainage Authority. The Drainage Authority attempted to have a hearing and have that discussion. MnDOT did not present any evidence.
They did show up.
They did show up. Their sole argument was that MnDOT does not consider Trunk Highway 71 to be an obstruction under the drainage code, which I guess gets at a portion of the briefing done in this case as far as MnDOT's authority over trunk highways. That was never considered by the Drainage Authority at the hearing because it was never brought up by MnDOT.
But did they need to consider that? I mean, this is something, as Judge Bentley said, we could take judicial notice of, but I'm not sure if it adds or detracts or just makes for a more voluminous record.
I would say that there is nothing within that record that fundamentally changes the Drainage Authority's position. There's nothing within that record that I would be concerned about this court knowing of or wanting to prevent the court from understanding solely based on the fact that MnDOT didn't bring it.
So, sorry, can I just, I just want to understand your position. And this goes to the point of the right-of-way and whether or not MnDOT could have condemned or not. I mean, ultimately, do you agree that if we find that there is not an the highway is not an obstruction under, I think it's 0.075, right, under the
Correct.
Obstruction provision. If this is not an obstruction, does that end the case, or do these other issues about right-of-ways or other interests, are they still alive to some degree to otherwise establish that there's a basis? And I'm not trying to pin you. I'm trying to understand, like,
yes,
does
Your Honor.
It really just all turn on, is this an obstruction under the statute?
I would say that the issue of whether who came first and what rights were established when MnDOT established Trunk Highway 71 and what the drainage system established in 1916 is fundamental. Holding Minch to say that the 103E.075 limits the drainage authority's ability to address obstruction would be fundamentally impair the drainage authority's ability to do its job under the drainage code.
So can I just ask one more clarifying question, Judge Warkey?
Yes.
So is your position then that the right-of-way, the timing matters in determining that this was an obstruction because it came after the ditch was there, and that therefore it goes so that all just plays into whether it was or was not an obstruction. But if we find that it's not an obstruction, that you're not asserting some other basis outside of just that question based on the right of ways or time and other basis to say that they should be responsible. Is that right?
Correct, Your Honor. I would encourage the court to look at Fisher versus Town of Albion to illuminate as to the rights that the benefited landowners have in both the function of the drainage system and also the maintenance of the conditions upon which the drainage system was originally established.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Furcher, you have the last word.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'd like to start just by saying, MnDOT's sympathetic to the Drainage Authority's attempt to strike a balance here with the costs. The problem comes with how it tries to do that and the fact that it is not allowed to do it in the manner that it did. The Minch decision is not dicta. As this court is well aware, the Roos case holds that judicial construction of a statute is as much a part thereof as if it had been written into it originally. And that cabins in the definition of obstruction. Nowhere in the statutory language or in Minch or in any other case cited by the Drainage Authority is priority of ownership or who was there first or whether it's owned an easement or fee simple. It has no bearing on the definition and application of the obstruction statute. The other point I want to discuss is there is no obstruction to access here, despite how the Drainage Authority is framing this issue. MnDOT is facilitating the access under the means authorized by law. Under 8610-3600, the law requires that this improvement be installed by jacking and boring. The increased costs to those construction is not because MnDOT placed a highway on top of their pipe. It's because the law has changed since 1916. And as cited in the drainage manual in MnDOT's brief and in the myriad other statutes from the drainage code, there is no mechanism for the drainage authority to charge these improvement construction costs to MnDOT. None. That is why they have taken this extraordinary step to advance this priority of ownership standard within the confines of the obstruction statute, to shift the costs, which otherwise must be borne by the benefiting landowners, of which MnDOT is not one. Now, it may pose questions of fairness, as counsel has pointed out, but where there is a perceived injustice within a statute, that's the prerogative for the legislature to address. It is not the prerogative of this court or the Drainage Authority to insert language into a statute where there is none. Under the Suspitzen case, the legislature has the authority to add that language. And the drainage code is, admittedly, complicated, confusing. We talk about the distinction between repair and improvement and maintenance. These are statutorily defined terms, and how these things are dealt with are governed by those statutes. And an improvement, the costs to make that improvement must be borne by the benefiting landowners. There's no way to shift that burden to MnDOT because there's a highway and a law that requires that the means and methods of that improvement be constructed by jacking and boring. To highlight that point, there's also a maintenance cost assessed against MnDOT here, and that's in the briefing. It's in the record. It's just over $11,000. MnDOT is not challenging that cost. MnDOT is participating in the drainage system as it is required to do by statute. It is paying its assessed benefits as it's required to do by the statute, and it is facilitating access to construct the improvements as it is required to do here. The only thing MnDOT is objecting to is its attempt to shift the costs to MnDOT on the basis of a flawed legal argument under the obstruction statute. Your Honors, for a holding in this case, I would urge that this court reverse the Drainage Authority's decision in its entirety by applying the language of the statute, the precedential definition this court established in Minch, and determine that the motion to supplement the record is moot because none of the documents in the Drainage Authority's record nor in MnDOT's record are necessary to resolve that simple dispositive issue. If there's no further questions, Your Honor, I'll.
There are none. This is an important issue for the state of Minnesota. As my farmer husband always says, drainage, water flow, we can't get away from it. The arguments definitely help us understand each of your positions. The briefs were very well done. So thank you for coming today. That's our last oral argument case. We will stand in adjournment.
All rise.